Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so honored today because I have DM Woods with me, and DM is a best-selling author, speaker, dating coach, life coach, and business advisor who has the gift of inspiring, advising, and motivating people to greater heights. His gifts are disrupting the dating world by breaking limiting beliefs, circles of frustration, and the confusion of today's singles and couples. For DM, it's more than just about transforming lives. He understands that his work with clients, readers, and his community produces a change not only in themselves, but to others as well. His new style of coaching breaks the traditional teaching of the male's perspective on love and relationships. His advisement encompasses the full 360-degree view from multiple perspectives to meet the needs of the ever-changing dating environment. Because of his unique viewpoints, he is rapidly becoming a recognized expert by other experts in the field of dating, coaching, and relationships. He is a graduate of Howard University in Washington, D.C., and resides in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much for being here today, DM.
I am excited to be here, and I am excited to have this conversation with you. I think very, very highly of you. So if you have not subscribed, you need to make sure you subscribe right now. So let's knock that out.
You're the best. Thank you. And I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today because we connected over a year ago now, maybe 2 years, but just being able to hear you, we met on Clubhouse on an app, but just the words that you use, how you navigate conversations, especially in the dating world, relationships, the male perspective. But I would love for you to really just dive into your journey first and foremost, how you got here today.
Man, I survived. Oh my goodness. I can literally say that I am literally less than 30 days away from my wedding. So when I tell you I survived, I know exactly where you are. Woo! Man, we made it through COVID. It was so crazy. How did I get here? I want to start with this. One of my favorite quotes is by Nikola Tesla. If you want to know the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And when you really think and narrow down this on what frequency is, it's just a repeated pattern. A lot of people may say greatness leaves clues. If you can find out the clues, you can find your way to greatness. And that's how I kind of stumbled onto being a dating coach, even honestly, being a business coach as well, right? But what I will say is I reached a point of frustration. And I remember reaching that point of frustration back in around 2017, really wasn't happy with where I was. I just hopped out of a relationship, started the dating process, got frustrated with it. And unbeknownst to me at the time, I started to build these building blocks of understanding. I started a singles group in Houston, Space City Singles. It literally went from Space City Singles to Houston Singles. And we grew from like tens of people to hundreds to literally thousands. At the height, the group was 2,400, 2,700 members in Houston of single people that were going out at the time, at the height on a daily basis. So I got so many data points. But even at that point, I still wasn't ready to become this dating expert. And for myself, as time went on, around 2019, again, I got frustrated with the dating environment. I got frustrated where I was like, you know what, I'm getting off apps, et cetera, et cetera. And I talked to a dating coach and they kind of re-level set me. And when I got serious to get back into dating, it just still wasn't clicking. So I took a step back and I said, you know what, I got to figure this out. What's the pattern? What's the clues? I have to figure out why I'm not having the success that I want to have. And when I started to pull back, started to talk to more singles, I started to get those little pieces of greatness. I started to get those little nuggets, those little patterns started to become clearer. And as I started to research for my book, Dating Advice 360, The Ultimate Hack to Getting What You Want, essentially, it's like I almost stumbled on the path of what I knew, but I just didn't put it together. And one of the things that I will say about singles is you have a general idea, but really when you question it, when we really try to find out what you want, there's so much uncertainty there. And I know a lot of singles watching this like, oh no, I know exactly what I want. Maybe you're a business owner. Oh, I know exactly what I want. When we start asking you questions, do you really know? What type of marital decision style do you want? What type of financial, how are you going to make finance? Oh, we're just going to figure it out. Well, if you're going to figure it out, when you finally get hit with the reality of life, what's your default? And is their default going to be the same as your default? Because if it's not, that's when you have that division. The same in business. What is going to be your path to market? When you get hit with life, are you going to keep that path? Or are you just waiting to figure out what's going to happen? So I help singles get a plan and a path for what they desire in their dating experience. And then everything starts to change.
I love that. You're so right. I was just like, yes, yes. With like the financial aspect or the questions that maybe we're not asking ourselves, like when we were single or are single, people listening as well. But I think that clarity of just knowing exactly what you want and having that plan of action. And I know you're so good at being able to pick that up and be able to help people navigate that, especially in your book too, of really outlining that so clearly. But I'm curious, because I know you've worked with so many people in so many facets, so many areas of the United States as well, when it comes to dating and being single. But what are some of the key elements outside of like financial or just like marriage decisions, anything like that? Like, what are some of the common threads that you see that singles are dealing with right now?
So let's start with the first one. Mm-hmm. The first one is not understanding the market. So let's break this down a little bit, right? If you don't understand the politics of what's going on in your job, so this can apply to everyone. If you don't understand the politics, you don't know what's going on, you're clueless. You're not gonna know how to talk to your manager. You're not gonna know how to talk to your clients, your prospects, whoever you're working with. You don't know what side of town is the right side of town. You're gonna always be late to work. If you don't know how traffic works, if you don't have a GPS, and singles are entering the single market without knowing these things. Let's start off with the first one, right? Most singles don't know that most of the singles that are out there right now are not looking for a serious relationship. When people start, they're like, you know what? I want something. I want this, right? Whatever this is for you. But when we get hit, man, nobody's serious. Nobody's really focused. Well, let's talk about the numbers. 50% of the singles out there right now are not looking for anything at all. But when I say that, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, how many people out right now, if you were single and you're talking to them, say, you know what? I'm just focusing on school. I'm just focusing on work. I'm just focusing on my mental health. I'm just focusing on my kids right now. You know, I'm just focusing on my finances. I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to get right with God first. I'm trying to blah, 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 blah. I got to take care of my mom. You know, I got to, you know, find the keys to the car or whatever it is, right? I need transportation.
Right.
Most singles are not mentally ready to date because they have something else going on. And if you approach going online or going out to the bar and you're meeting people thinking that they're going to have something similar or similar desires, you're wrong. You're already 50% wrong just starting off. Then another 10% of singles, and it does skew higher in man because some people will ask that, are only looking for something casual. Now, that's 60%. 26% don't know what they want. Now, what does this sound like? This sounds like, oh, I meet the guy that says he wants the relationship, but then once we start talking, oh, I'm not really ready. Or, hey, you know what? I'm really not trying to get into anything serious right now. Oh, yeah, me either. But as soon as y'all hang out a couple of times, he's ready to take you down the aisle. 26%. So when we look at this, 86% of singles out there either don't know what they want, don't want anything are just trying to get you in between the sheets, right? Mm-hmm. That's 14% that are looking for something serious. And everybody that's looking for something serious is not looking to get married. And if you're one of the singles out there that are looking for someone to really settle down with, you're really looking for marriage, if you go out and you don't know these numbers, man, you're already lost. Mm-hmm. However, if you know those numbers, you can use those numbers to find your person quicker. And that's what I did at the end of 2021.
I love it. I love how you broke down the numbers too, because it really puts it in perspective of like where people are at. And it's asking like tough questions. I know I did that with my boyfriend. I like kind of grilled him a little. I was like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I'm not going to stand for anything, because I've been in situations before, to be fully honest, and I've shared this with you too, but they weren't wanting the same things as me. And I think so many people run into that, especially as we get older. Females deal with it in maybe a different way than men, but I mean, I'll let you speak to that, but of just how like biological clock and other factors that play a part of wanting that, or focusing on ourselves versus focusing on a relationship. I think a lot of people do that. And I think it's good to date yourself, be ready, know what you want, getting clear. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been able to meet my person, just like a lot of people I've spoken to too. But I'm curious, with from the male's perspective of just outside of the numbers, being clear and knowing what next steps are, how do you find the male's perspective when it comes to dating and looking for something serious? Do you think women have the same situations or problems that they occur?
Well, I think the biggest thing that kind of stands out as the outlier, right, is mm-hmm. women will have a biological clock that ticks, right? Now, this is the thing. Some women's clocks are ticking louder than others. With advancements in medicine, people living longer, you know, the standard, you know, by 30 or mid-30s or late-30s is kind of past, because you do have women that are healthily having children 40 and in their early 40s. Now, there's so many different dynamics that go into this. What are the guys looking for? Do the guys want to take that risk? Because there are guys out there that are ready to have kids. One of the things that's really interesting is with a lot of guys, not every guy, mm-hmm. but around that 30 mark, most guys will have some type of itch. Now, this isn't all guys, but it does happen with a lot of guys. If the guy is rushing, he picks the wrong woman, sometimes that can get kicked down, like kicking the can down, where that guy might not pop back up until his mid-30s. At the same time, there are guys that have established themselves that are in their 40s, their mid-40s, their early 50s that are looking to settle down. What you want to be able to do from the guy's perspective is find out where he is. Now, this is the secret. You don't find out where he is by saying where you are. For some reason, people are still making this a play. I'm looking for something serious. I'm looking. Don't do that. You are shooting yourself in the foot. Ask the questions. Here's one. What are you ultimately looking for or hoping to build to romantically? Keeping that question open, not asking the same stereotypical questions, redundant, the one that, yeah, we already know the answer to. We've seen this movie before. We're watching Rocky 8. We know what's going to happen, right? But, why are you single? Why are you on the app? Just basically, what are you looking for? Add something else to this. I'll put it this way. If all I'm doing is giving you scrambled eggs day in and day out, because this is the thing, when people are on the apps, when people are out, it's the same basic questions, right? But if I'm giving you eggs every day, you're like, you know what? I'm tired of scrambled eggs. But guess what? Maybe I take those eggs, add a little milk, add a little cream, dip a little bread in there. I got French toast. Maybe I'm boiling the egg this time. Maybe I'm doing something a little bit different. Maybe I'm, you know, add a little water, add a little season, and put a little twist to it. It's so many different ways that you can approach a single question. You know, another thing, you know, how you come off when you're asking these questions. A lot of people are coming off negative. You have to shed that. Even now, I still coach singles. Singles that are a little exhausted, singles that have kind of been in it for a little while, they're frustrated. When you let your frustration comes out, that negativity, when it seeps out, it's just like an oil spill. It damages and contaminates the water. So you have to be able to control that. Look at what are your triggers. You know, how are you responding to people? Because you might have a great person, but because of your triggers with John, Paul, and Stephen, you're ready to go. Guys, it may be Jennifer, Sarah, and Elizabeth that got you going crazy. But when you really sit down and you find, you know, Felicia, you don't want to tell her bye, right? Because Felicia is approaching you different. And people make mistakes. They're human. They might ask the wrong question. Like, we need to stop this process of going after somebody. I'm going to get them. I'm going to correct you. If you're in that path in dating and you're trying to correct somebody or get them right, you're already failing. You're setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm.
So well put. And you're right. It's going back to the fact that you can't change anybody. They are who they are. And you're right. People make mistakes. Like, nobody is perfect.
No one. They can be perfect for you, but they're not going to be perfect for anyone else. And that's what we gotta get to. And perfect does not mean completely ideal. That just means that you and that person can have a symbiotic relationship that is minimum conflict. Y'all not at each other's throats. You're not sleeping with a knife under your pillow or something like that. You're not cheating on them because they're not, you know what I'm saying? So who is perfect for you? You can actually get to that. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be, you know, hitting on everything. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like focusing on like what I'm hearing you say too, is like the core values. Like, if those are aligned of just what makes sense, everything isn't going to align perfectly. There's going to be little things that you have to deal with, but it's like working through that or communicating through that if you really want it and putting the effort. And I'm curious from your perspective too, because, you know, I see this a lot, especially like just in the news or like social media, other factors, let one thing happens and people break up or don't make it work. So kind of going on the other spectrum of like dating or giving somebody a chance too, what is your perspective on that, of just going back to like giving up so easily or not asking the right questions that would help you identify if this is the right person for you or not?
So one of the biggest things that is a benefit to today's dating environment is you have access to so many people. With your phone, if you wanted to start dating people in India, you can find a person in India. You can travel there. You can get to India, right? Maybe it's the UK, it's Germany, it's Australia. Like, people are more accessible than they have ever been. The issue with that is because people are as accessible, a lot of people will say they're also disposable because it's so easy to find someone else. But this is also another fallacy that we deal with, because when you start looking for that perfect person for you, there's not a lot of people out there. If you're just talking about marriage, right? That's less than 10% of the singles out right now. Now we got that 10%. How many are you attracted to? How many are attracted to you? How many want the same things you want? How many share the same values? Do they share your same religion? Do they share your same financial aspect and your goals? You know, what are the irritating parts to this person? You know, we have to find out what are our non-negotiables, but at the same time, we can't have this laundry list of things that is everything ideal. We have to find out, okay, what are my non-negotiables? What are the things that, you know, these are most important to me? And you want to lock those down. Now, there are some individuals that may get picky. I'm completely okay with a person getting picky, but make sure that you reflect that pickiness, right? You can't have a, you know, caviar, steak, lobster, you know, taste, and you got $5 in your pocket, right? You're not giving what they want. You're not giving what's supposed to be gay, right? Well, however people say it, right? So you have to make sure that there is a parallel between you and that person. And if there is a missing piece, you have to be willing to cover the gap. You can't just have this sense of entitlement, like it's just gonna, that I think is another thing that people are messing up. You have to make sure that the dots are connected.
Absolutely. And it like goes back to like standards, right? Like being able to, like, you can be picky and have standards, but at the same time, like what you said, it triggered this thought for me, because I had wrote a list of all the qualities I wanted from somebody. And I was like, wait a minute, do I have that quality? No. Yeah. Okay. I need to work on myself. I need to have that to fulfill myself first, foremost, and then I can find that person, because what I'm putting out there is going to be attracted back to me. At least that was my thought process. But that's what I'm hearing you say too. It's like with the taste you have versus like maybe what you're making, and like understanding too, you have to have that yourself first and foremost of like, yeah, when it comes to core values or standards that you're setting for somebody else, because how can you expect that from someone else if you can't bring that to the table? Obviously, yeah, it's a little different, but.
And it's also like, for example, one of the things that I do with singles is arrange, right? Mm-hmm. Just to give you an example, mm-hmm, of what I mean. Hey, you can have whatever taste you want, right? So let's say, you know, we have this idea of, oh, he's a 10, she's a 10. Okay, well, let's just take a general sense of, okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, how does a person look, right? Now, hey, if 10's your thing, I get it. 10 can be your thing. But this is my question for you. If that person had everything else that you were looking for, y'all believe the same thing, you were happy, y'all had no conflict, you had similar religions, or religions that were able to complement each other and be okay and then have a lack of conflict, right? You know, desire for children, income, beliefs, what about drinking? What about smoking? What about drug usage? You know, politics, all of these things that can cause these things of friction, right? If they were everything else you were looking for, what would your range be? Would you take a 3? Would you take a 5? Would you take a 6? Would you take a 7? And then having that range, a lot of people are like, oh, well, if they're not a 10, I'm not talking to them. Okay, so if we really look at it, if they were a solid 6 and they were everything that you were looking for, would you tell them no? Would you tell them scram? Would you not even give them a chance? Most singles would be like, no, I'll talk to them. Like, I'm gonna be done with this. So we need to be mindful and conscious, be self-aware of what our actual range is, and can't be looking for, you know, the most idealistic idea and person out there. Oh, well, they're a 10 and they make, $180,000 a year, and they have washboard abs, and, you know, they, pay their tithes, and, you know, they kiss babies, and like all of these ideas that we have. And I'm looking for 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Are you really being realistic? Because I believe you can be picky. I'm okay with you being picky. But are you being realistic in terms of if somebody came that was different, are you saying you would say no? And if the answer is no, you need to open it up. And if you say, oh yeah, I would tell them no, and this is what it is, just make sure you're willing to die with whatever you are picking. That's where I'm at.
Ooh, I'm just like feeling that. That's like so spot on. It really is. And just like even the range of understanding too, it doesn't have to be all these things that you want from somebody, but if they're not a 10, are you going to disregard that? Because right, at the end of the day, like, looks fade. They do. Mm-hmm. They truly do, but it's the personality, it's the core, it's who the person is underneath that, but finding out what their range is. So I love that you like put that into the context.
And some things will be definite. Some things should be definite. Yeah. Finance, decision-making skills, those things should be definite. Politics, you know, religion. If you are a believer in whatever you believe, and you have an anti-theist, or you have an atheist, you know, if it's not going to work, yes, there should be some lines drawn in the sand, but you have to be able to distinguish, is this a line or is this a range, and know when to dial the difference between the two.
Very good, like, observation too, and just being very descriptive of that, of understanding, okay, is it the line or is it the range? And really asking yourselves, listening, you are single, of like, what is okay for you? And that will really help. I love that. But because you've had so much success with clients, I would love for you to share in any capacity, because I know you do multiple things, but if you could share one or two client success stories with us of just how you saw somebody really transform, whether it's in life coaching, business, dating, any aspect.
You know what? It's a lot of stories out there. The first person that kind of comes to mind is an individual. They were a little older and dating. And they were a little hesitant to get out. They still carry this animosity against the opposite sex. But we were able to kind of go through some coaching and find out that that animosity was something that was a root in their life because of what they saw between their parents. So we were able to make that connection to their former experiences and how they brought that into their dating experience. We were able to kind of prune the tree, so to speak, and get those beliefs, find out why they existed, and get that person to move away and give individuals chances. Every now and then something may creep up because I still work with that person. But right now they are in a healthy relationship with their person. And they're doing well. They're doing well. At the same time, there were some shortcuts that were done that still will make that conflict come up. So it's not always about the best success story. It's about the individual that follows through. Now, I can also tell you about a gentleman that I worked with that when we started working together, it was really, really interesting because he was super hesitant about, I'm not sure if I want to do this. You know, I really don't see the point in coaching. I'm like, hey, you know what? Try a session, see how it goes. Let's take it from there. And after our first session, it was like, yo, look, I'm going to book a month of session. Let's go. And what we were able to do is to get him to really drill down and narrow down those things that needed to be narrow to actually get a range for other things. We were able to build him a prototype and give him vetting questions. So he had a focused approach, because going back to that that pattern quote that I gave you a little bit earlier, one of the best ways to figure out is what's around you is having your own pattern. Because you know, if I do X, Y, Z, if they do A, B, C, I know I have this. If I do X, Y, Z and they do 1, 2, 3, I know I have this. If I do X, Y, Z and they do X, Y, Z, I know what I have. So we were able to show him how to develop his pattern, and he found his person where he kind of gave up. So it's so interesting. The biggest thing I would say though is the follow through, because there's going to be times where some people, it might happen within the first month or two of getting yourself out there and having a different approach, a different mindset. Others, it might take 3 to 4 months. It might take 4 months. You might have to look around. You might have to go online. You might have to hire a matchmaker. Depending on where you are, what you're looking for, those ranges and those specifics, it's going to be a different process for everyone. But do not get jealous or do not be discouraged because someone else has victory or success faster than you. That's the one thing I will say at the end of that.
That's important to remember too, because we're all different and our journeys are different as well, but not getting frustrated, but just knowing it's the follow through, right? Like, it's putting yourself out there. And a lot of times people are like, well, I got burned, or this person cheated, or like, I don't want to like experience that again. And nobody wants a broken heart, nobody. But being able to really, right before you're about to give up, you might meet that person, but if you gave up, how do you know? I mean, that's
sometimes it's darkness before dawn.
Yeah, like my boyfriend was about to give up and then he met me. But like, it's just kind of going back to your story of just like the clients that you've worked with, of allowing yourself to be out there. And really, if you're looking for it, if you're in that small percentage, but it's knowing what you're looking for, we're able to help him find the patterns too. the first client, talking about how like he noticed from like childhood and like his parents in that situation, that can be such so triggering for people, and they might not even be conscious of it, but you were able to pull that out and help him through those patterns to put himself out there. So I love that you explained that, and he ended up finding this person or the one that you're working with now as well.
Yeah. Yes. You know, it's always good to see these love stories, these relationships, you know, working with singles, and they see the light. You know, sometimes it can be something as quick as just getting the lay of the land, and that helps, because a lot of singles have a lot of drama, hurt, pain, trauma that they carry, and you're able to let that go when you kind of really find out, okay, cool, this is what I'm working with. This is what it looks like. I can set a realistic expectation. And for a lot of singles, that's exactly what they need to get that additional motivation and knock it out.
That is very true. And I'm curious, with everything that you have accomplished, because you have accomplished a lot, what has been some of the lessons that you've learned along the way that are really pivotal when it comes to maybe roadblocks or just pushing through things that you were like, I don't know if this is going to work, but it ended up working out?
Well, you know, one of the things I've learned as a coach, and I think you can also take this lesson and apply to your dating experience, right? You can't make something be something that they're not ready to be. You can't make the horse drink, like that old adage. And if a person isn't there, keep it moving. It's okay. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I gotta go back. I gotta do this. I gotta relight the flame. You know, if something's happened where it's become a negative situation, it's a toxic situation, you messed up. Hey, there is grace, but we also live in a place, the World Wide Web technology today. You know, in 2022, you don't necessarily have to go back to those shambles. You can start new. You can ask the questions. You know, a lot of people don't want to branch out. They don't want to start somebody. They don't want to start a conversation with a new person because they get so locked into comfort. It's okay to let things go. It's okay. Now, there's a balance. We can't just be chopping everybody up like it's Halloween end and, you know, you're Michael Myers. We can't be on that level. But there is a balance of, you know, letting go, but also fighting. And I think I'll put it this way. A lot of people, when they're dating right now, they will try to find a Honda Accord in their desires to make it a Ferrari, right? Mm-hmm. A Honda is not a Ferrari, never will be. It's one thing to find a Ferrari that's a Ferrari, and maybe you need to work with it. You know what I'm saying? If you want to take on that task, you can, but don't try to build a Honda Accord to a Ferrari, right? Trajectory in position is better than potential any day of the week. Mm-hmm. Anybody has the potential to do anything, but are they on the trajectory? Are they in the position of where you want them to be? So if they're not looking for a relationship and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you can't force them there. You can't make them. Don't fall into the trap of, oh, I'm going to prove myself how good of a man I am, how good of a woman I am, and I'm going to convince them. That's a big trap that you may not be ready to pay for.
Oh, been there, done that.
We've all had.
No, but I think it's very relatable. I love the example you used of the car too, because it really goes back to just understanding like what people are saying, what they're not saying based off the actions. Because I always think actions speak louder than words, and just the behaviors behind it. They might be telling you stuff to kind of have you dangling there, but it's really listening to or seeing what they're doing, the action, the follow through, what you've been talking about as well and have always been talking about, because it's so essential when it comes to really, if you want to find your person, if you want to have everything that you want, there really needs to be the effort from both places. It's like two whole people coming together,
yeah,
making it work if you want it. But if one person wants it and the other person's at the Honda dealership versus Ferrari, it's not gonna like work out.
Nah, you're gonna disappoint yourself in the long run.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate those examples. But what has been maybe two or three tips that you could give entrepreneurs listening, singles listening, and I'm morphing it together a little bit, but two or three tips that you could give that somebody is on the journey of finding their person, and you can relate it back to business if you would like.
Yeah, I think capacity. Mm. If you want to increase your capacity, what you have to do is build a process. If you don't have a process, and this is business, this is dating, you have to figure out a process to be able to cover more ground. I'll give you a great example, right? If you're going and you're getting to know individuals, I teach vetting. I teach short form vetting, where you come up with 7 questions that are your main filtering questions, and you ask everyone those questions. If they get the first one right, you keep going, just like, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? If they get question 4 wrong, we're done, game over. And that's a whole different conversation, right? But if you have this vetting process, you have this process to go through, when you get to question 7 and it's a yes, hey, this is something that's beneficial for both of us. Just like a client, just like a customer. You can't take everybody. You can't. If you're a psychologist and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to take everybody, you're going to have different people with different situations, people that are just wasting your time, people that just want a friend, people that just want somebody to talk to, people that are looking to have someone enable them. If you're in business, you're a consultant, same way, same thing. No matter whatever industry you are in, if you're just open to everybody and there's not a barrier, you're going to have issues, right? Point being, Target, they have their own barrier. There are certain prices. People are like, look, I'm not going into Target. I can't afford it. It looks different in Target than what it does in Walmart, right? So these things, and even in Walmart, you know, there is a thing where Walmart's not for everybody. I know it sounds crazy, but how many people don't shop at Walmart? They have their differentiation that's out there in the market. So what you want to be able to do is have that process, figure out what's working. Even Walmart, when they first started, before they got to Walmart, a lot of people don't know this, their niche, their focus was on small rural markets. That's where Walmart was in. They weren't in these major metro areas. And because they weren't being serviced, they said, you know what? I'm going to focus on those spots, those rural parts that don't necessarily have a department store. And we're going to give them a department store feel. And when they did that, they got successful. They got big. And then the people that were in the major cities were like, yo, we want a Walmart. Why can't we get a Walmart? And that's how they grew. So find whatever your process is in dating. Simplify it and it'll allow you to cover more ground.
Great example. And you know, it's so true. Like I was kind of like checking my own mark, like checking it off for myself, like the vetting process of just the questions, asking whether it's even a business relationship too, of like a partnership or anything like that. But I think it's so key that what you were saying about vetting and having those deal breakers essentially are non-negotiables, but asking those questions in the order of importance of like, what is important? And then at the end, those 7 questions, they like pass go and you can continue and it's mutual, whatever relationship it is, but especially in dating. And I love that you said that because I just wanted to highlight it because I do think it's really important and I'm proud of myself. But with that being said, I'm loving this conversation. Always have a great time talking to you, but we're gonna jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Let's do it, let's see. All right.
The first question is, who is your hero?
Hero, man, all right. If I had to rapidly pick somebody, I am going to pick my dad. And I'm going to pick him because he stayed true to who he was And he got a lot accomplished, even as a younger individual. My dad is a person that may not be the easiest person to get along with, but he is very honest, direct, and transparent, and in business that got him very, very far. So I would say hero-wise, I would go with my dad because he stayed true to himself and he was very successful at that.
Powerful. Transparency and honesty goes a very long way, especially in business, but in relationships too.
Most definitely.
So if you were to look at your life, what makes you work smarter? What motivates you to work smarter?
You know, for me, great segue. I actually didn't know my dad until I was 19. So I met him later in life. For me, I don't want my children to go through that same experience. I want them to have opportunities that I never had. I want my wife to have the man and husband I didn't see growing up in my own home. So that's one of the things that drives me. And in order to be the best husband and in order to be the best future dad that I can be, you know, I have to make sure that I'm the best man that I can be. I have to make sure that I'm constantly obsessed with improvement, whether that's how I look, what I'm doing, what I'm working, who I am spiritually. All of these things create a security and a protection about them with everybody that's connected to me, even my new company. You know, being able to say, hey, look, I can rely on this person. This is a person, I see how they're moving. You know, that get up and go about yourself, I think really sets that differentiation.
Mm-hmm. And it's also seeing people around us too. It's that motivation of just what we see, what we like, what we don't like, but what allows us to choose a different path or to continue on the path in a different way as well. But great response. I appreciate that. And so if you were a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
Man. Okay. So, you know, the power I would want, but I don't know. Okay. Great power comes great responsibility. And I'm probably picking the wrong superpower. But I would love the ability to know someone's thoughts. I think that would just be amazing. But you have to know that thoughts change too. You know what I'm saying? So a person's original thoughts of you can potentially change. So you can't go off of that. But man, I would like to know. I would like to peek behind the curtain. So if there was a superpower, that's probably the one that I would go after. I don't need all the other stuff, but I think that would just be like a great advantage in life. But I'm sure it would be, you got to be responsible with it, man. You got to be. And give people a second or third chance and see if it changes. And if it doesn't,
done. No, that's so true, honestly. Like, because it does create a lot of responsibility, especially if you know a lot of people's thoughts. However, you know, you're right when it comes to thoughts change, because like new information comes, you can have a different thought about it based off of a previous perspective to a new perspective. So I just had to throw that in there because I agree with that completely. So if you had to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Four?
Just four.
Okay. Four individuals, living or dead. I'm going to pick Jesus. I'm a Christian. We're having a conversation. Another person. Ugh. All right. I want to go kind of like old school. I want to go with like JP Morgan. Mm-hmm. I know. I think that would be good. But you know what? I take that back. I'm going to take JP out. And I'm going to put Napoleon Hill. So I'm going Jesus, Napoleon Hill, because he interviewed a crap load of people. You know, this is going to sound kind of selfish, but I would probably go with Jerome Powell, who's the Fed chair, because I want to know what's going on with the market. If we can have a transparent conversation, so I would ask him because he has so much power in the market right now. And then one last person, I don't know, it would be a split between Bob Johnson or David Stewart. David Stewart built the company Worldwide Technology. I'm actually reading his book right now. But man, he did a lot of things that a lot of people haven't had the opportunity to do. He's still living. So it would be kind of cool to have that mix of business, knowledge, and just the spiritual side. I don't know how that conversation would go, but that's where I would be at. A little business, a little intelligence of success, and then business. So that's where I'm at.
I like the mix. I might have to join. That's a good one. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
The most daring thing that I've ever done. I would say getting back into the dating environment. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I actually decided to write it off. Like at the end of, it was the end of 2020. Like I really decided to like write it off. And I got back into it. I really say, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. I wrote a book. Yeah. I became a dating expert. I got recognized by so many people. And then I really, really put it to work and found my woman, my fiance, my future wife. I think it's a lot to go out there in the dating world today. And that's why I encourage and I empower so many singles to do it. I get it. It's tough. We've had negative experiences. We've been knocked down. It's like zombies out there. It's like, I need you to hug zombies and one day you'll find your person. Like, dude, you know how scary that is? Zombies? Yeah. But it's real. And I think that's real life, you know? And then not only jumping, right? You got to add that jumping part. A lot of times people will meet a phenomenal person, but they don't want to get in a relationship with them. A lot of people meet a phenomenal person that they're in a relationship that they won't propose to. A lot of people will find a person that they propose to that they won't marry. So I would say right now, I am just in a moment of expansion in my life on jumping and I'm all in. So I hope someone watching this is getting all in as well, just in life and their dating experience, their business. It's all connected because the common denominator is you. Mm.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And what is the phone app that you use the most?
The phone app that I use, texting, probably. Believe it or not, it's going to be texting. I know that's going to be fun. Outside of that, it's going to be a split between, well, emails up there too. But personally, Instagram, TikTok. It's going to be Instagram, TikTok. More so Instagram, you know, I'm keeping in contact with, you know, a lot of people that I'm coaching, et cetera. It's a very convenient way to reach me because I do have my time that I unplug. And then TikTok, man, just fun stuff. It's a lot of great coaches on TikTok. It's a lot of humor on TikTok. I shared a TikTok video today about New York. So shout out to New York and their rat problems and their mayor. And if you haven't looked it up, look up New York Mayor Rats and you will get a laugh.
Oh boy. Now I'm going to look it up after this.
New York Mayor Rats. It is hilarious. You will text me after, I promise. It's hilarious.
I will. So I know you mentioned a book that you're reading, but what is the last book that you read or listened to or the one that you mentioned?
Doing Business by the Good Book by David Stewart. David Stewart is one of the Black billionaires in the United States, and he built his company from scratch. He was working at a Fortune 100 company and decided to branch off and start something different. We talked earlier tonight about niches. He found his niche, and what he did was he found what someone else wasn't doing. Very similar to what I did in dating. That allowed me to be successful and which can allow someone else to be successful. what can you do differently? What can you provide differently? How can you get in the dating area and give someone a different experience, showing how serious and intentional you are and being able to communicate that, right? Because there's so much fluff out in the world right now. So that's the book. I'm Doing Business by the Good Book by David Stewart.
Thank you for the recommendation. I'm adding it to my list. My list keeps growing and growing. The more amazing people I get to talk to, I learn something new and add a book. But with that being said, what if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Man, you know what? Who would play me? Sometimes I feel like I'm a tall Kevin Hart because my life is just that crazy. But ironically, maybe I would pick James Harden because people think I look so much like him. Now that he's grown his beard out even more, like not as much. I would say a great actor would be Will Smith, but you know, he has just gotten crazy. So at this point, man, I can't think of his name. And right now, this dude is like buff and dieseled out, like because he's in Creed 3. But he's a gentleman that is he plays Kang in Marvel, so you know him there. But he's just a really, really good actor. I think that he shows intention. He can be passionate. He can be funny. He can be humor. He is definitely very, very talented, and he can do so many different energies, and I cannot think of his name. I feel horrible about it. But if you know, if you want to look him up, look up Creed 3, and he's the guy that plays the side of Michael B. Jordan. Or if you want a shortcut, look up Marvel Cinematic Universe Kang, and he's the guy that plays Kang, K-A-N-G. But that guy is on top.
I'm like, I'm trying to picture it. I'm not really into Marvel, but like, I'm like, what's his face? I don't know. But I'm sure as soon as I see his face, I'll be like, yes.
Somebody's watching this is like, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so. I don't know.
Well, write in the comments.
My laptop. Yeah, next time.
Next time. So what is your favorite family recipe, whether it's a traditional one or you just love making it together as a family?
Gumbo, mm-hmm. Hands down. You can't go wrong with it. I cook it really good. I'm from Louisiana. Gumbo is going to be my final answer.
Done. Given.
Done.
I'm like, it sounds so good right now, actually.
Yeah, especially it's getting cold out here in North Carolina.
Yes, I believe it. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal personality type, what animal would you be?
So I think I would be a tiger, right? I think my Chinese zodiac is a rabbit. Or something like that, or it's a weird animal. I don't like that one. But I would be a tiger. I think it would be because I'm huge. I'm 6'5". A lot of people don't know that, but I'm a really big guy, so I can't be a lion. I'm like bigger than a lion. Maybe I would be a liger. But between a liger and a tiger, I think they're very regal animals. They can be playful, they can have fun, but don't mess with them. But you can play with them too. So I think it's an awesome animal. That's what I would go with.
I like it. I could see that 100%. So if you had a day off, because I know you're a very busy man, but what is your favorite way to spend your day off?
It would be fishing. If I can get by some salt water and I can fish, I'm going to be a happy camper. So for the last holiday, me and my fiance went out to Navarre. We had like a tent. I did some fishing, had some fun, got in the water, completely recharged.
So necessary. It sounds very relaxing. So what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Man, an outsider, you know, I do believe it's a lot of coaches out there. But what I would say is make sure that your coach is giving you something unique and not something that you can get everywhere. That's the first thing, because it's really easy to hear somebody and repeat someone else. And make sure they have a passion for it, like a passion, not just regurgitating information, but a passion. I think that is one of the biggest things that you can do to find out the true intentions of a person in the coaching industry.
That's fire. Yeah. So true. Because everybody can just say something, but what is their flavor? What is unique to them in order to?
Yes. Yes. Are they, do they have a passion? Can they keep talking about it forever? Is it just they're trying to push you and sell you? Or is it like, yo, like, I love this. Like, I'll do it for free. And there's a reason why we charge, because you have people that'll just constantly take up all your time and not do anything. I want to work with somebody that's ready to work, but find somebody that has that passion.
Exactly. So speaking of that, where can people find you, use your services? I'm going to link your book below as well if you didn't send it to me, but let us know.
Yeah, look, find me online. Go to Instagram, dwoods.advisor. I'm taking a little bit of a break on posting only because I'm like days away, like weeks away from my wedding. Afterwards, me and my fiance have actually talked about actually partnering together. So we'll probably be doing like relationship counseling, premarital counseling. She is a licensed clinical social worker. I'm a coach. She's a therapist. So like, we're like this or babe. So eventually we will get into that. But for now, dwoods.advisor, find me. I'm loving this interview. And I would love the opportunity to talk with anyone that hits me up. So let's chat. Let's see what's going on.
Absolutely. Make sure you reach out to him. He is phenomenal, has so much wisdom. I so appreciate you being on today, DM. I know you have so much to offer and you offered so many valuable nuggets here today. And it's always such a pleasure to interact with you, but also just hear everything that you had to share today. I know I appreciate it. I know everyone listening appreciated it. So thank you so much for your time, your energy, and your soul today.
Most definitely. And if you have not, please check out Dr. Caroline's book. Also, make sure that you are subscribing. Hit that like, put a comment down. I mean, Liz is a phenomenal woman that's doing phenomenal things. So please, please, please make sure you support. When you reached out to me, I was like, yes, we have to make it work. We got to figure it out. We will make time. And literally, I'm traveling right now. I'm in a hotel room. I'm not even in my office. But I made time because this woman is phenomenal. So make sure that you're checking her out.
Oh my gosh. I'm like overwhelmed with just the gratitude, especially just because I know we've had so many conversations, but I just so appreciate your genuineness and making the time for this today. I know you're busy, but being able to have you come on is such an honor. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from DM? Reach out to him directly too. He has so much to offer. I will see you on the next video.